Got your Bibles? Open up to the book of Matthew. We're going to close out our series today on kingdom secrets with calling today the secret of the kingdom. And we're going to be diving into Matthew chapter 13, where we've been thinking about here the treasure of our home, our moms. We're also now going to turn and talk about a treasure in two parables today. Zion and I were talking today a little while ago. We've got one message, two parables, three verses, all right? But in those three verses, we have an eternity of truth that is packed in today. And so I think what we're going to be seeing today, what our hope is that we're going to find out through this parable what is of eternal value, what is of eternal truth, and what is really true treasure from the Bible's perspective. So if you've got your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 44, 45, and 46, I'm going to be reading that for us today. I'm going to ask that you stand with me as we read the Word of God. And when I finish, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And you say, thanks be to God. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thank be to God. You may be seated. Amy and I are from Texas, and we have kind of a love-hate relationship with Arkansas. I know I have some Arkansas folks here. I'm sorry. We drive across it, and when we head back to Texas, when we go to see family, well, there is a state park. It's a new state park, relatively speaking. It was back in 72. You'd go, that doesn't seem like that long. That doesn't seem like new. But in the realm of state parks, it is new. It's called Crater of Diamonds State Park, and it's up in Murfreesboro area of Arkansas. And prior to 72, it becoming a state park, you could go and just kind of wander around that area, and people literally would find diamonds, gems, gemstones, all kinds of precious minerals. Well, the state of Arkansas being, well, they're not all, well, they became smart. How about that? And they said, Heath, they became, said, listen, we're going to make a state park, and we're going to start charging people to come and dig for diamonds. And you know what? People come. I mean, and you might think it's a tourist trap, but since they have done that, there's been over 50,000 diamonds and gemstones discovered at Crater of Diamonds State Park. The largest diamond ever mined in the United States came from that area, came from that very place. Huge diamond, like 40 carats. The most expensive diamond ever mined in the United States was found at Crater of Diamonds State Park. Worth over $1 million. It was rated and certified by GIA and all of those folks as flawless, a perfect, perfect diamond. Listen, this is what I think we're going to be seeing and talking about, not Crater State Park, but treasure, things of immense worth that come from the passage that we're going to be reading today, the passage that we have read today. If you don't mind, I'm going to jump right in and kind of get us moving in a direction here. Verse 44, if you got it, your Bible open, I want you to look at it. Verse 44, Jesus is teaching this parable. Remember what a parable is. It's a earthly story, earthly context with a spiritual, heavenly meaning. And he starts in 44 and he says that there is a man who's walking through a field and he unexpectedly finds a treasure of unspeakable value and worth. As he's walking through this field, he finds a treasure. It says that when he found it, he covered it back up. If you can imagine, he buries this treasure. We don't know how it. He recognized had, he buried it up. And if you can imagine, he covers his tracks up very good. And he goes away. And the scripture says that in his joy, he went and sold everything he had so that he could purchase that field. Now, in the day and time in which Jesus is telling this story, they didn't have First Bank, Bank of America, Chase, Citibank. They didn't have those kind of things. They had rude banks, just kind of base, where you could go and exchange your money. Specifically, they used these types of banks when you were going into the temple so that you could make sacrifices and offerings and those types of things. And they brought it back into the shekel, the temple shekel. But, you know, people didn't just walk around with loads of money. If they had lots of money, what they would end up doing is they invest in property. They would buy fields. They'd buy cattle. They'd buy herds. It would begin to be shown in that way. But if they did have money and jewels or something precious that they wanted to save, they wanted to pass on, they would dig a hole. They would dig a hole and put their precious things in it, and they would cover it up. You might remember, you remember the story back in Exodus where at Jericho, the man who kept some of the goods from Jericho, and he buried it in his tent. Do you remember that story? He buried it in his tent. Well, they would bury their precious gold and silver and things that they didn't want anyone to find. And it just so happens if someone died without telling someone where it was buried, it might actually probably be easy to find. You might walk by it, or you might find it there. And here you now have treasure. Well, look at verse 45. Verse 45 tells us that there was another man. There was a merchant, he's called. And in verse 45, it says that he went in search of fine pearls. Now, pearls of that day were much more valuable than diamonds because pearls come from the ocean. I mean, you had to get those pearls. They didn't have the whole process that they do today of like having cultured pearls and those things and farms where they farm these. So it was of high value. The scripture tells us in verse 45 that he goes and he looks and he's searching. And when he found this pearl, it says he went away and he got rid of, he sold out everything so that he could get this pearl of great prize. The man who was walking across the field, who found the treasure, he got rid of everything he had. And I want you to notice this. They didn't call in the financial advisors. They didn't call in those who deal in land and those who deal in gems and think, hey, I would like for you to evaluate this. No, they recognized that what they had in that moment was something of great treasure, and they leveraged everything for it. They leveraged everything for it. I think today, in only three sentences, there are a couple of questions that we need to answer. So this is what I'm basing this whole message on. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down the very first question that needs to be answered. The very first question that needs to be answered is this, what is this treasure then? What is this treasure that we've got to deal with? And once we discover the treasure, it's what is it worth to us? What actually is the treasure worth? Well, let's talk about what the treasure is. In Jesus' story here, what you see in both of these is that the man and the merchant, they find something of great value. And it would be very easy in this parable or in a story to get sidetracked. We could get sidetracked thinking about, well, I wonder where the man was. I wonder what he was doing. Or I wonder where the merchant was going. You could get sidetracked thinking about, well, what kind of treasure was it? Well, I mean, why were these people seeking? What were they? He stumbled on something in the field. We could begin to ask all kinds of questions, but what happens when we do that is we will miss what the whole main point of a parable is all about, because the parable here is not about the man or the merchant at its essence. It's not about the seeking and the stumbling. It is about the treasure that was found, and the focus of the parable, I believe, is when it says that the kingdom is like. He says that both in 44 and 45, because what he's describing here is the kingdom of God. He's describing the kingdom of heaven. He's wanting us to see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is worth everything. It's worth so much that both of these men went and sold out all that they had so that they could obtain the kingdom of God. They could obtain the kingdom of heaven. Now, you're asking questions right now. Write that question down, okay? Because I know where your question is probably headed. I want you to write it down, and I'll answer it in just a few moments. You see, the reason this parable, these two parables, the reason that they're here and is because God is pointing us towards something. Jesus is speaking to those first century disciples, and because the first century disciples, they understood, they believed that the kingdom of God wasn't something to be found. It was something that was assumed. It was something that was inherited. You see, we're Jewish. We're God's chosen race of people. So naturally, yes, we're in the kingdom of God. We have the kingdom of God. You, a Gentile, a Greek, a Scythian, a barbarian, you want to be a Jew? You want the kingdom of God? Then you have to become a Jew. Now listen, they are, I want you to hear me. They are God's chosen race and chosen people, but the reason God chose them wasn't because they were great, wasn't because they were mighty, wasn't because they were strong, wasn't because they were more intelligent than anyone else. He chose them to be a light to the nations so that when the nations would see the Jews, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they would say, you are a different people. You act differently. Your codes are differently. In fact, you worship differently. And they would be able to say the reason that we're different is because we follow the one true living God. They were to be a light to the nations. And yet what ended up happening is they said, listen, the blessing is for us. And if you're not born Jew, if you're not Jewish, if you're not a part of us, then you stand outside of the kingdom. And at the right time, God sent his one and only son to come, to die a death, to live a life that was perfect, to die a death, so that the wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, the wall of hostility between ethnicities, races of people, would be broken down in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is pointing out here that the kingdom of God is worth it all. The kingdom of God is a treasure that will be found by some, and by some, they'll miss it. Today in our room here, in our gathering, there are some of you in here that you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going, yeah, I know the kingdom of God. I know the kingdom of heaven. I'm a part of that. And then there are others of you, you've been sitting, maybe even today's your first day here, and you're thinking, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Or you've sat and you've walked under a teaching for a long, long time, and yet you still have never surrendered your life to Christ. And you see, Jesus is speaking and he's saying, listen, there are going to be those in my hearing, who hear about the kingdom of God and they're going to go, yes, I want that. And there are going to be those who are going to reject that. Now, the phrase the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, they're from scripture, from a scriptural standpoint, they're interchangeable, they're synonymous. All right. Some of the reasons that you would see a kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God is that many Jews would talk about the kingdom of heaven because they were afraid of using the holy name of God, that they might take his name in vain. And so in order not to break one of the commandments, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain, they would trade that out and they would use the kingdom of heaven. And what Jesus is doing right here is he is saying, listen, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is worth everything that you have. He says, I am the kingdom of God that has come into your presence. Because a lot of times when we talk about kingdom, we're talking about a realm. You're talking about a very specific place. Jesus, when he walked the earth, was not talking about a specific place in these times. He was talking about his rule and his reign. His rule and his reign. Yes, there is a place. that will one day be the kingdom of God. Heaven, when we reach heaven, when the new Jerusalem, when the new heavens and the new earth come, his rule and reign will be complete in a very specific realm for us, a place. But in these days, when he was speaking, he's speaking about his rule and his reign in your life. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. You might want to write that down. Revelation 11, 15. The writer says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is that not yet kingdom that we will one day all attain. Those of us who are his followers, those of us who have surrendered our lives, those who have died in Christ, we will all attain that. But yet, he's also talking about our now kingdom, his now kingdom. Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, and he said this, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So not only is he talking about there is a not yet kingdom, but there is a now kingdom that we live, that we understand, that we live out. And that is his rule and his reign in the life of those who have surrendered their lives to him. What is that treasure? It is the kingdom of God. And he says, listen, this treasure is so important. It is so important that there are those, he uses the illustration of the man and the merchant, that when they found it, they didn't have to examine it. They knew immediately. They knew immediately, what I have found is of great value. Great value. And in their joy, they went away so that they might obtain it. So what was it worth? What is it worth? What is the treasure? Well, what is it worth? Let's talk about that for just a few moments. What is this treasure worth? As I said a second ago, you recognized, didn't you, when it says that in their joy, they went and they sold everything. They had an estate sale. They put it all on Facebook Marketplace. They got rid of everything. They leveraged it all so that they could grab and get the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. They said, this is worth everything. In fact, so much so that I'm willing to sell out. It's worth everything to me. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul says this. Paul says, talking about the kingdom of heaven, he says, indeed, I count everything as loss. Everything as loss because of the surpassing worth. I count everything at loss because in view of what the worth, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says that the rule and the reign of Christ is worth everything. Everything I have, everything that I have had, everything that I will have, it's worth it all. Do you notice here between Paul, between the man walking in the field who found the treasure, between the merchant who was walking through, they all felt like, man, this, I can't go past this. Whatever it cost me. I need to stop here for just a second. What is it that you're treasuring? What do you treasure in this life? You see, when they found a treasure, they did whatever it took so that they could gain it. Now, what we recognize is this, is that this parable is pointing to the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Christ in their lives. He's speaking to us about that. So let me ask you this. What in your life today? Money? Finances? Family? What is it that you're treasuring today? Is it an ideal? Is it a prime schedule? I'm not going to let anything get over this. Is there what is it my time? Is it your comfort? What is it that you're treasuring that as a result of treasuring it, it is making the rule and reign of Christ take second and third and fourth place? I do a lot of counseling. In my premarital counseling, when I meet with people before they get married, I always talk about the three things that sink their hooks into families that, if they're not careful, can drag them down and away really quick. Sex, money, and family, specifically in-laws. Because we fight over in-laws. We fight over family, and we fail to recognize that the two shall become one. And it's not two separate families, it's one family. You see, we begin to value our pleasure, physical pleasure. We see that lived out today in so many different ways, don't we? Fantasy lives online, lives that look very promiscuous. Money. I've got to get more money. I've got to attain. I got to get over because I got to get my retirement. I'm going to go on this vacation. We want this car. We need this house. We want family even. I mean, just letting your family become of supreme. And our family is very important, isn't it? I mean, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong. It's not wrong to have a nice house. It's not wrong to have a car. It's not wrong to want to retire. Listen, the Lord gave sex to us, husband and wife, in the context of marriage for our pleasure, for His glory, our good, His glory. Those things are wonderful. But here's what ends up happening. When we take the gifts, the good things that He's given us, and they become of supreme value to us, so much so that the rule and reign of Christ begins to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. You see, those things begin to be looked at as being supreme value in us. You want me to set aside my comfort for the rule of Christ? Do you want me to set aside my time for the rule of Christ? Oftentimes what we do is we think, myself included, Lord, you're going to ask me to sell everything. You're going to send me off to the deepest, darkest area. There's going to be no internet. I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody. You know what? He may do that. Let me ask you something. Would the rule and reign of Christ in your life, is it worth everything? More than that, let me ask you this. When you go to work tomorrow, is the rule and reign of Christ in your life worthy to sacrifice your reputation, to sacrifice a promotion? Would the rule and reign of Christ in your life be worth everything if you had to even say, kids, listen, we're not going to do this because it's going to interfere with us being able to do this for Christ and our family? You see, what I think is happening here is that Jesus is pointing out to His disciples, which would be us also today. He's pointing out to them that we're in danger of missing the kingdom because we're allowing something that is of no value to become supreme value. You realize everything is going to burn one day, don't you? You're going to die if you do not recognize this yet. You're going to die. I'm not making light of death. I want you to catch the seriousness of it. You're going to die, and you're going to leave it all behind. And one day you'll stand before the Lord, just you and Him. And at that moment, we're going to have to figure out, I mean, you have to be thinking, what has been of such supreme value? Do you count it all as loss? Is your comfort at loss of knowing Christ? Listen, yes, my time, it's loss compared to knowing the rule and the reign of Christ in my life. My money, my time, my home, my family, my job. Everything is of loss. When it comes to knowing the treasure, the kingdom of God, what he, you've discovered it. He has shown it to you. He has broken into your life. You're trusting him with your eternal salvation, yet you don't trust him with your calendar? That's close to my own home. Lord, I'm trusting you that I will miss hell, go to heaven, but you want me to like give time to the serving children? Do you see? Do you catch it? You see, here's one of the things this passage is teaching us today. This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, the treasure, that pearl of great prize, it's the kingdom, and the kingdom is worth everything. It's worth everything. Anything that you think is gain, I need you to hear, is lost in comparison of knowing Jesus Christ and following him. Students, for you, that may be hard to grasp right now because you're thinking you have the whole world ahead of you. I need you to hear this. The world and everything that stands before you will burn and die. It is not for you. It is against you. Christ is for you. How much so? He laid his life down. And he invites you, invites me into his rule and reign, into the kingdom of God, into his realm. Now, the question some of you have gotten, you're probably going, okay, Kyle, treasure, pearl, this involves great wealth. You count it all. You're asking me to get rid of, am I willing to forgo everything? I need you to hear me. There is absolutely no way you can buy your way. This parable is not about buying your way into something. You realize you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into the realm. You can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. You cannot buy into that. But I will tell you this, it will cost you everything that you have though. It costs us. This is what he's calling you and me to today. This is what he's calling us to. So, Kyle, is it really worth it? I need you to know that it is, because Jesus is the greatest treasure. The treasure that was in the ground, I need you to know that our treasure was put into a grave, and he walked out 3 days later. And he is alive today. He is the greater treasure. The pearl of great price, I need you to know that Jesus is the greater pearl of great price. He is more precious than diamonds and rubies and pearls. All of those things are in the wall of his city. We will walk on those things. They're nothing to him because he is the greater treasure. He is the greater treasure. Jesus loves you. He's laid his life down, and he invites you into his kingdom today. Moms, you know what the greatest gift? You know what the greatest gift that you could give? Wait a minute. This is Mother's Day. I should be receiving gifts. Well, there's the greatest gift you could give today. Is to tell your son, your daughter, your family about how Jesus has changed your life and how that's what you want for them. You may go, they're not going to listen to me. You be faithful. You count it all as loss and you tell them. Some of you in here today, you have moms that do not know Christ. You know what the greatest gift you could give her is for you to tell her how much Jesus loves her. Today, the greatest treasure stand, and I hold him out to you. The greatest thing that I could give you today is Jesus, and I invite you to him. Some of us today, you've been digging for treasure in places that are they're empty. I need you to know that you will never be empty. You'll never be alone. You'll never be forsaken when you come to Christ. Father, I love you and I thank you. I praise your name. I'm asking today, Jesus, if there's someone in here that doesn't know you as Savior, would you change their life? Would you transform their heart? Would you bring them from death to life today? Would you open their eyes that they might see you for who you are? Holy Spirit, your role, the scripture tells us, is to point to Jesus. So I'm asking that today, would you point people to Jesus Christ? God, we love you and we honor you. I'm asking that today, God, if one of your children in here has been wandering, would you draw them home? Bring them back. Like the prodigal son who comes to his father, I thank you that you desire to see us home. Father, I love you and I magnify you, and I'm asking that you do the work that only you do today. Only you can save people. And it's in the name of Christ I ask these things today. Amen.